listening to Now You Know. Call us at 347-857-3122 or call via Skype at Now You Know, no spaces. Here's Ann.
Except it's not Ann, it's Brian, because Ann is on her way. We're trying to work that out. I think she's calling in right now. Ann, are you there? Please be there, Ann.
Ann, I'm here.
Okay.
We are here.
And actually, you missed my incredibly awesome introduction music that I put together, especially for this show.
Oh, but you know what? I have the power to hear it again.
And so do I.
I'm going to hear it right now. Pretty awesome. Thank you, Brian.
Now, of course, that harks back to our first show that we did together, Three Things You Should Know. We'll have some new fresh music for this show, but in terms of this being a technical test, I just pulled that out of the closet and threw it up there. So it worked pretty good.
Archives, let's not talk about pulling things out of the closet just yet, Brian.
Yeah, that's right.
Already have a hand up.
Yeah, okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to test the screen room, make sure we figure out how that works. So, Ann, the show is yours. I'm going to leave you and talk to the screener. So,
oh, no, you're the screener. You're going to talk to the screenee.
That's right. I'm going to talk to the screenee, man. I got to get this technical job.
I have to tell you, Brian, remember that what we told the people who are helping us test this out, this our maiden voyage, our charter show, our magnum open. No, wait, that's wrong. Okay, anyway, we told them they could ask us anything they wanted, anything at all.
Well, that's why we have to screen them, so that I can put the most embarrassing questions to you in front. So talk to yourself, Ann. I'm jumping out to the screener room.
Well, I'm not really going to talk to myself because I'm guessing that there are at least, dozens and dozens of people out there just helping us testing this and listening. Well, would you believe one dozen? Would you believe two people? Would you believe one person and their aged cat? So guess who's watching a lot of Get Smart lately? That would be me. Now, how can we tell who's out there while we're testing this system?
Have you been talking, Ann?
I have been.
It's interesting because I can't hear you when I jump to the screener room, so I have no idea what you're saying. I'm going to have to figure
that out. I hope that everyone else out there could still hear me, but I was just wondering how we would find out how we could get them to signal us short of smoke signals or carrier pigeon.
Well, there is a chat room, which we've got some guests in the chat room now. I'm not exactly sure how that works because I'm logged in as you. Now we have three chat room guests.
Can they hear us?
Well, they can hear us, I assume, if they're in the chat room, they're listening to the show. But anyway, okay, so we've got somebody on wants to talk to you. So,
all righty.
If you're ready.
Okay, he's here to talk to us.
No, this one is here to talk to you.
Right, so hi, this is Rob.
You're on.
Well, hi there, Rob. How are you?
Hey, I'm pretty good. And, you know, I come with a question.
That's what we like to hear. What's your question, Rob?
So what's this show all about?
Well, that's a really good question, and I'm glad you asked. This is a talk show where every week we are going to have a special guest, and that guest is going to be an expert in their field. And it could be anything at all. And so you'll just have to – all right, now I'm just completely just off in La La Land talking. It's going to be very diverse. It's going to be all different kinds of guests. They could be people from the medical field. They could be people from the technical field. They could be people from the entertainment industry. But the thing that they will all have in common is that they will be experts in their field, and they will talk about their area of expertise, which will be something that will be very interesting to everyone out there. But the twist is that you guys get to call in and you get to ask them your questions. So, for example, if I were the guest expert, which I'm not, although for this particular episode I can be because we said you could ask us anything you wanted. If I were the guest expert being, say, a father's rights lawyer, then people could call up and ask me their family law questions. They could ask me their family law policy questions. They could ask whatever burning questions. If you ever wish you could talk to a father's rights lawyer, what would you want to ask them? And the same will be true for all of the other experts.
Because really, everybody wishes that they could talk to a father's rights expert. I mean, that's what everybody wakes up in the morning and says, I really wish I could talk to a father's rights expert.
Well, you know, what I'm really hoping for is that you get at least some expert chefs on so I can call in and ask some particulars.
Well, you know, and one of the things that we are going to do is take requests, you know, so you can be our first request, and I think having an expert chef on would be a wonderful idea. So what in particular, do you have a particular area of expertise? You want a sous chef, a pastry chef, a short order cook?
You know, it might be nice to have like a chef series, you know, going through the different parts of the kitchen.
Hmm.
Kind of like a Kitchen Confidential, only it can't be confidential because they have to reveal the answers to our questions.
That's a really good idea. I think it's an excellent idea. What do you think, Brian?
Well, I think that's great. Now, would you, Rob, want it from the perspective of here I am, regular Joe Blow, trying to make my kitchen a little better as far as what I can produce, or you're already, you know, super amateur or even professional, wanting to really get some nice tricks and tips?
Well, I think from my personal perspective, I'd like to have better insight in what to expect as a consumer at restaurants, but also some questions about, you know, the kinds of things I would do in my kitchen when I cook, you know, how, you know, what are good ways to outfit a kitchen? You know, one can go, like, for example, on a practical level, one can go and buy, you know, a $5,000 knife, but will a $100 knife do as one end? And then the other end is there might be people who might be interested in pursuing, you know, chef as a career. I don't know, but I think there are a lot of possibilities with that.
Well, that sounds great. I mean, from my perspective, I didn't even know that maybe a $5,000 knife existed. If I can't do it with a dollar knife, I don't know that I'm going to understand what they're talking about. But that's great to get an expert chef in there. Let us know what the different accoutrements are that you can have in your kitchen and go.
Well, you know, another possibility, and I'm just going to throw this out if you let
don't
me have
throw
the
it
floor.
Out. It's a good idea. We want to keep it, not throw it out.
Well, as it turns out, knives are made out of various materials, including in Japan, you can get knives made out of titanium and various types of high-tech steel. So it would really be neat to have like a material scientist on with a knife expert like from Japan and have it from the perspective of material science and the perspective from chefdom.
So that's interesting. My question now is in what cooking scenario do you require a titanium knife?
I can't tell you that on the air.
We need an expert. Oh, yeah.
All right.
There are probably plenty of underworld situations where you might need a titanium blade of some type. But
there are also ceramic knives, and there's various kinds of steel. There's knives that are clad, knives that have different, in which the core is different from the surface. Believe me, I had a whole lecture on this yesterday when I went over to a friend's house whose brother went to cooking school. So, it was interesting. So I think there might be something to this.
And that's
I like the idea of the mashup where you get the scientist and the chef, and they're both talking about the knife, but from different perspectives.
So let me just say first something, and to another topic. But as it happens, I have now figured out who this caller is. Actually, I did quite some time ago. In fact, before he actually started speaking, he's a very dear friend of mine from long ago, and he's a fantastic cook. And this guy makes the best homemade mozzarella and homemade bread you have ever tasted. And so I just wanted to say that. And I want to thank you for your call. And I want to say over in the chat room, we've had some other questions. And again, we hope people will actually call in, or you're already called in. We hope that you'll press 1, which is the way to signal that you want to ask a question on the air, because there are questions going on in the chat room, but we sure would love to take them on the air, because that's how this is going to help us and help producer Brian to really give the system a good workout, so that next week when we have our first actual guest expert on the air with us, we don't fall on our face and embarrass ourselves.
And it's important for people to know how to call in, and that is the number 347-857-3122. We're still working out
the Skype angle. I'm not sure how we set up the Skype call-in name yet. We'll work that out. But right now, if you can call in 347-857-3122, that would really help us to run through the system and see how it works. So I'm going to actually turn Rob off now after I've done such a good job of turning him on. Just to see how that works. So, Rob, it's nothing personal, but I'm just going to test out how to hang up a caller here. So thanks for calling.
No problem.
Thank you, Rob. And while Brian is figuring out how to turn Rob off, I can tell you that if you just go straight to our site page, which is blogtalkradio.com/now-you-know, there is a link there to click on to call in with Skype. So you can call in with Skype, and you will automatically be listening through Skype. And you can also press 1 at that point to ask a question. So,
and is that what you did, Ann? To just call
that
in?
That is exactly what I did.
And you're not having to use Skype credits now, right?
I am not having to use Skype credits now. It's true. The only downside of that is you cannot actually use the Skype link until exactly the top of the hour. They have it. It's not enabled until then. That's not really a downside, but for me it was. But for most listeners, it wouldn't be. So, while we're waiting for those phones to ring off the hook, I will mention that what was brought up by Will Not Lie to Please You over in our chat room was that he would love, I assume it's a he, it might be a she, to see us have a guest who's an expert on parental alienation syndrome.
Actually, that's Karen, and we have her on the line now. So stand by, and Karen, ask Ann, because I have no idea what you just said, and it kind of counted dirty to me. So,
good evening, Ann. How are you?
Hi there, Karen. I understand that we had a birthday recently. Happy birthday.
Okay, thank you. I haven't had a birthday since March, but I'll take it. Why the heck not?
We have two Karens now on the line.
Yes,
go ahead.
We must.
Happy birthday anyway. The other Karen's probably laughing her head off right now.
I like the way she spells her name better, though, if that's any consolation. Now, I'm interested to see if I've been going through a legal nightmare for almost a decade, one to where I just basically have to lay there and take it from an ex-husband. And I'm just curious how you feel about parental alienation syndrome. And that I know it's still considered to be, at least in the Midwest, a theorized defense. And I was wondering, if you're from a more metropolitan area, is it getting more acceptable within the confines of the larger domestic relation courts?
Well, Karen, I have to tell you, first of all, that when I ran my father's rights practice, I dealt with parental alienation syndrome all the time. And
mm-hmm.
I'm horrified to hear that in the Midwest it's still considered a theory, because I can certainly tell you in the California court system it is a well-recognized syndrome, and most of the family law courts with which I'm familiar certainly recognize it, are familiar with it, and may or may not take it into account depending on the leaning of the court, but they're all very aware of it. And again, I'm really quite horrified to hear that you are anywhere near a court that suggests it's just a theory.
My attorney, who took my case pro bono because it's such a terrible case, he would ultimately like to see it go to the Supreme Court. He even told me today he's going to have to start going to therapy. He's so upset by my case. It's
wow.
Affecting everything in his life.
What state are you in, Karen?
Well, I reside in Indiana, but the case originated in an Ohio court and
okay.
then was moved over. When I was due to win my case in Ohio, then they said, we don't have jurisdiction. So then it moved into Kentucky, and then it's starting all over again in Kentucky. And the problem lies wherein my ex-husband is an IRS auditor. And what's really weird is both judges in the case, he's audited their taxes.
Oh, my.
There's nothing shady about that.
Oh, it's very shady. And he has custody of my two young sons. And because he is a quote-unquote victim of circumstance here. Like yesterday, he called here and called me every name in the book, had my 9-year-old get on the phone and just feed absolute, just torturous things. And he's allowed to do it. And my attorney said, there's nothing we can do, Karen. You can change your phone number. So what am I supposed to do? Make it to where my 9 and 7-year-old can't get a hold of me at all? Absolutely not.
So Karen, let me ask. So I guess.
Oh, it's a long story, and it'll make you mad.
I just want to say you're in Indiana, but jurisdiction right now is in Kentucky. So the
in Northern Kentucky, yes.
So the orders are from Kentucky.
It's a continuation over from Hamilton County, Ohio, which other people would know as Cincinnati, Ohio.
Okay. All right. So here's what I'm going to suggest you do. You got a pencil?
I do. I always do when I talk to a lawyer.
Okay. The first thing I'm going to suggest that you do is that you give this woman a call. Her name is Carol Marks. I'm sure she's going to love me giving her number out on the air. So I have to make sure.
To the seven people that are going to hear it right now.
Well, there's also, I didn't know if you realized this, but I am under Will Not Lie to Please You in the chat room.
Yeah.
If you take your mouse and you click, if you left click or right click on that name, it'll give you the option to send me a private message.
Oh, cool.
And you could give me her number via private message. Nobody would see it, and nobody would hear it over the air.
Oh, look at that. I wonder what the difference between private and whisper is.
Whisper is kind of more of a, it's a short, almost like a tweet, short kind of discussion, where
okay.
a private message allows you more text.
So in Twitter language, the private is a DM, and the whisper is an app?
You got it.
So Karen, you sound like you're very familiar with the Blog Talk Radio system already, are you?
I've been around since it's been around.
Wow, so Brian, there you go. There's your go-to person.
I know the ins and outs. I can tell you how to market it. I can tell you everything.
Hey, Karen, what I'm going to do
Certainly.
Is I'm going to whisper a message to you. I'm going to send you my contact info, and then if you wouldn't mind maybe answering some questions via email or phone later on, that would be fantastic.
Okay, all I need for Carol is the area code, please.
There, I just sent that. So I just privated
thank you,
Karen. And I would say give her a call. She is the therapist with whom I often worked while I was in private practice in California, and we worked together on quite a few PAS cases, and she is an expert witness. She is fantastic, and I think she would have some resources to suggest to you, and my recommendation would be that you and your lawyer call her together so that he can pick her brains and if you're in a position to, I know you said he took your case pro bono, but at least offer to pay her at the front of the call. I doubt she'll take anything, but tell her I recommended you, I referred you. She's still there? Am I still there?
Well, it shows, hold on. Stand by. I think that was my fault. Karen, are you still there?
I'm still here. Did you accidentally hit mute?
See, you can't pull anything over on somebody that's well-versed in Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's very difficult. When you have several numbers in the line, they'll glitch up on you. So when you try to put one on mute and keep one talking, it will carry over the one above or the one below. It
mm-hmm.
does have a lot of glitches, but there's a way to work through it.
Well, see, when we have our show about Blog Talk Radio, you will be our expert that we will come to.
Oh, I don't think they'd appreciate that. They'd probably enjoy if you would get a hold of one of their admins and have them come on.
You know,
I think
what?
They might not, because I've already pestered their admins all throughout the weekend.
Oh, bless their hearts.
One thing I'm having trouble with here is the chat room. I don't know if I'm on Safari on my Mac. I don't know if it's a Safari issue or what, but I'm not able to type anything, be it in the main chat room window or do a private message or anything like that. So I'm not sure why I can't send any messages.
Ideally, Blog Talk Radio works best in Mozilla Firefox.
Okay.
It also is very adequate in Internet Explorer. But with Internet Explorer, you, especially the newest editions, the firewalls that are pre-installed into the program can oftentimes cause you problems regarding blocking pop-up windows. When you disable the pop-up blocker, what happens, then all the advertisements you see running above the page and to your right as you're looking at the chat room will
yeah.
then begin to pop up and interrupt your experience while they're coming in and listening and trying to communicate with you during the show. So it's kind of it's a lesser than two evils. I prefer Mozilla. It's been tried and true to be the best.
Okay, I'm going to keep.
And it's free.
I was just going to say, Brian, you might not be able to do anything in the chat room because I'm doing it. And
I tell you what, how about if I try to cut out the middleman here? And Anne, I'm going to put in to your private message my direct contact number, and then you can pass it on to him, and he can call me any old time he'd like.
That's very nice of you. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm a freelance writer. I work out of the home, so I am here most of the time.
Hey, that's great. Well, I sure appreciate your help and being so kind to offer.
Oh,
your...
no problem.
And this has become very interesting for anybody listening that cares about Blog Talk Radio. So maybe.
And for those who don't, let's get another caller in here.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate
bye-bye.
Your time. Talk to you later. All right. So, and I wanted to jump in, but I didn't want to interrupt because you guys were having a good little debate there. What is the just general education on what PAS is to a layperson?
Parental alienation syndrome is. No. Okay, good. Are you?
What's that?
Are you hearing an echo? Echo.
I'm not hearing an echo from you. You're kind of cutting in and out a bit. I don't know if that's a Skype thing or what.
All right. Hey, everyone out in the chat, I'm not calling in, but I know you're listening. Did you hear an echo or did you hear me cutting in and out at all, or how does it sound?
Yeah, tell us how Ann sounds versus how Brian sounds so that we can work
Brian
out.
Brian always sounds great.
Well, but right. Technically, you know, we need to make sure that the system is working fine. And we may have to switch over to using the phone if that's more stable. I think we're both
right.
Skyped in right now, right? So we're
checking. We are both Skyped in, and we just verbed a noun, sort of. Parental alienation syndrome is when, in the course of a divorce or when parents are disunited, one of the parents, or in theory, both of the parents, okay. Brian, are you monitoring the chat room?
Yeah, I'm watching.
Okay, so you're seeing, okay.
I can read, I just can't converse.
Okay. Brian sounds great. Brian always sounds great.
Thank you, Karen.
Anyway, it's basically when one parent poisons the children against the other. It's really just kind of how it sounds, parental alienation. The one parent is alienating the children away from the other parent by... there are all sorts of ways that can be done. It typically involves bad-mouthing the other parent around the children, saying derogatory things about the parent, basically trying to get the kids to side with them, with the alienating parent. And in extreme cases, it can cause it to be such that the kids literally hate the parent who's been alienated away from and will say things in court about, you know, just how awful the other parent is, and it's all really sort of a power struggle that's being played out through the kids. But the effect, as hurtful as it is for the parent who's being alienated away from, the real poison is what's being fed to the kids. And so it's a horrible thing to do to the kids because they end up deprived of a parent, both emotionally and ultimately in reality, physically, because, you know, a court eventually, you know, they will also get worn down. The experts in the court and the family court system will get worn down, and they will come to see, oh, these kids really hate this other parent. This other parent's horrible. And so, you know, again, in the most extreme case, that parent just gets cut out of the kids' lives because,
so then,
you know.
Well, I guess typically then where this becomes important is during the divorce hearings. Now, having never gone through divorce, I'm not certain exactly what the procedures are, but if somebody is doing this to their children, then that comes out during the hearings when the judge talks to the children or something like that, when they're trying to decide custody issues. I mean, is that what Karen is experiencing now? Is that what she's going through?
It sounds like something along those lines. You know, typically in the best situation, the court, well, let me put it this way. In the court, in the jurisdiction within which I practice, the court would very rarely talk to the kids and take into account what the kids said specifically because, let's say you've got a child, and let me just back up a little bit. There is a very common myth out in our culture, and I have no idea. I've never been able to trace the beginning of this myth, the origins of this myth, but that there is a particular age at which a child can state to the court of preference with which parent they'd like to live. Sometimes people think it's 12, some think it's 16. You know, the age changes, but it's always a myth. There is no magic age at which point a child can say choose with whom they want to live. And one of the reasons in the jurisdiction within which I practice in San Jose, in the San Jose area in California, one of the stated reasons that they will not have that sort of a rule is that, again, let's say there's a child and the child is 12 or 14 or whatever, and let's say they tell the judge that they want to live with dad.
Okay.
And now let's say that the judge said, for whatever reason, gives custody to mom. Well, now the child feels completely unheard, completely helpless, completely disrespected, and like they have no power. They feel completely powerless because their wishes didn't happen. Now, on the flip side, let's say that child does end up living with dad. Now the child feels an inordinate sense of power to determine the composition of their family and what happens with their family. So it's really a lose-lose situation. And the best systems will interview the children but not ask them to state a preference, and they will really look holistically at the family system and do whatever they can to ensure that the child has access to both parents.
Okay, so then tell me, you were kind of surprised that this still exists or that it hasn't been identified as an actual legitimate syndrome in the Midwest, because in California it is already established. Tell me what that's about.
Well, there's a researcher by the name of Richard Gardner who, oh my gosh, many, many years ago, first identified parental alienation syndrome. And at that point, pretty much it was a new, novel, quote-unquote theory. And so different courts have had sort of a different timeline in terms of how they have adopted, providing credibility to the fact that it exists or not. So, 15 years ago, California was, I wouldn't have been able to say, well, California actually recognizes it. And for all I know, in other parts of California, it may still be not as accepted a syndrome. But certainly where I was practicing, and in part through the work of Carol Marks, this therapist whose information I gave to our last caller, it's a very well-established fact that this happens. And in fact, in California, and Karen, if you're still listening, your attorney should ask Ms. Marks about this, because he may want to put this in some of the information that he puts before the court in your case. In California, a determination that one of the parents is engaging in parental alienation syndrome is not automatic change of custody, but it is a very strong indicator that custody should go to the other parent.
Well, so that,
oh, look, you're posting now. How did you do that?
Well, I reset the chat page. I clicked connect as co-host, and so it didn't boot you this time. It didn't keep me from not being able to post. So I'm not sure exactly what that's about, but I am now Ann P. Mitchell Esquire, co-host in the chat.
How do you feel being an Esquire?
It's something that I've always ascribed to.
No, it isn't.
My cousin has Esquire on the back of his name, and I've always been very jealous of that. And I asked him, how did you get Esquire on your name? And he said, I just write it there. Nobody questions me, so it's good to go.
All right. So we have seven people, five people who are in the chat.
Now you're breaking up right now. Are you doing anything internet intensive in that moment?
No.
Okay. Just trying to identify exactly where the issue might be. Now I'm as I showed you before we started the show, I'm actually sitting in my daughter's room to test this. I'm on Wi-Fi on my MacBook Pro, and so I don't know what my connection is like in terms of what blog talk radio likes, but I seem to be working okay. So I don't know what your situation is there as far as your internet connection, all that kind of stuff, but a little breaky-uppy.
Well, here's what I'm going to do for the second half of the show, which is about to come up in 40 seconds. I'm going to quickly connect, and I'm going to Skype in instead of Skype to Skype.
Okay.
And let you flip up sound any better, okay? So I'm going to hang up, but I will be right back. So, Brian, the show
will... Oh, we're going to town now. All right. In the chat room, we've got the question, well, are we actually looking for callers? And what we're doing tonight really is just a technical test. We're trying to understand the Blog Talk Radio system, see how it works, make sure that we can get somewhat proficient in it so that when we start next week, Monday nights, and actually have experts on the show, that we will know what we're doing and we won't be accidentally hanging out people like we did before. So that's kind of what we're trying to do there. So please feel free to call in and give us a chance to test the system. So now we've got Phil on the air, and because I'm alone now without Ann as my host, my co-host, I can't pre-screen. So I have no idea what Phil wants to talk about. Let's hope that it's just something interesting and yet not too risque.
Hi,
are you there, Phil?
Yes, I am. Hi, Mike and Marie. I do have a question. It was in my mind and it just slipped out. I'm sorry. Let me check here real quick. Oh, what I wanted to know was, she said that you do, or she, meaning Marie, said that she does life regressions. Now, if you do that, are you able to, if a person can't be hypnotized, how can they do that?
Well, I'm going to tell you, Phil, it's entirely possible you've called the wrong show. Because I've got no idea what you're talking about.
Is this Mike?
This is Brian and Ann on...
I'm sorry.
But you know, I appreciate you giving us a chance to test it out. So disconnect and go find the show you're looking for, and best of luck to you. But we are not the psychics you're looking for. All right, thanks, Phil. Anybody else wants to give us a call in? I think I had Ann for a second and I lost her here. Maybe she's calling in again. Let's see if we can throw her up. Ann, are you there? Please be there. Oh,
I hear you. I hear you.
So you did notice that the instant you got off, the show got incredibly interesting. We had a past life regression call come in, and I just didn't know how to feel then. I needed you.
Oh, so that's – see, I thought I was on the wrong show when I heard that. I think he was on the wrong show.
Yeah.
He was asking for a host named Marie.
Yes, and so I was – and so I saw you come on, and I turned your mic on. But I guess you bailed before I was able to tell him that he called the wrong show. So, no, you were in the right place, but you had a curveball.
I thought I was.
I tell you, if this is the way it's going to go, I'm very excited. This is going to be fantastic. All right, so now you've called in via Skype out. Is that what you've done, Ryan? Okay.
Yeah, you sound really bad now.
I'm sorry. I don't know. We'll have to go back and I guess this thing records the shows that we can go back and listen to it, I hope, so we can test and see what the audio quality is like. Well, Phil's calling back, so apparently he didn't get what he needed from the other show and maybe wants to talk to you, Ann. So if you know anything about past life regression, Ann, now is the time to pull it out because now we have Phil on the line. Phil, we appreciate you calling back. What's your question this time?
I'm sorry, I have three lines open on Skype. I have to figure a way how to get rid of this. And the lady...
The Skype maze.
Excuse me?
The Skype maze. It's really tough.
Yes. Marie Chilton is who Reiki Master... She's a shaman. And she was saying something about she was able to do past and pre-life regressions. And I didn't know whether or not, because I've only heard that you can do past life, and I've never heard of pre-life before. You know, but
well, so let me ask you a question. So this is not that show.
Yes.
So, but I just have to ask: wouldn't if it was for a future life, wouldn't that be a progression instead of a regression?
Maybe that's what she stated. Yeah, I'm so confused right now trying to get to. Onto that show to ask her that question because I have it in the chat room, and I'm really sorry. I really am.
Glad you called, Phil. What is the impetus for your question? Why is it been so phenomenal?
What it is is I tried to get it. Well, I was went to a comedy club before, and I was. Sort of heckled to get up and onto the stage to see if I can be hypnotized. And I wasn't able to be hypnotized. And I'm thinking, if you can't be hypnotized, Now, can other people also get into your it could be psyche, yes. Your mind, yeah.
You mean without your consent or your knowledge?
No. You're giving your knowledge, but you're not giving your soul consent, because if you do that, you're giving all your truth. You're giving everything away, and you don't want to do that to anybody. I wouldn't. I wouldn't tell anybody to give anybody anything they, you know, of them completely, because if you do that, and you're just giving your life away, and you're here for a purpose. And it's yes.
The information I can give you is that the show for which you're looking is blogtalkradio.com/ Journey into the Light.
Okay. Yeah, I'm there. I'm seeing it right now. I'm on there, but when I try to pull up 347-884-8245 on the dial pad, it just isn't letting me, but I'll try on my landline. Okay, thank you.
Maybe you can only Skype to one time.
Well, there's about four of them that's on there, so I guess I'll have to delete them all. Okay? Well, thank you very much. Well, I'm sorry.
Apology necessary.
All right, have a great evening. Bye now.
All right, thanks, Phil. Well, I mean, obviously, just our mere existence is pulling some kind of psychic energy together, and we are getting these amazing, interesting calls. So I'm excited. I think this is going to work well. We've got somebody that's helped us out here, and Richard is called in, and so we're very excited that he's going to give us a chance to test him here. So Richard, you wanted to call and talk about what you're doing this week. You've got a conference, and you're going to educate us on what's going on there.
Awesome. Hi, Richard.
Hi there.
So tell us what you're doing. What do you want to talk about?
Well, you know, I'm thinking that it's time to start doing some more broader publicity on OpenStreetMap. I don't know how many people really know about it. It's a effort to produce a crowdsourced Wikipedia-style map of the world.
Hmm. Now, I don't know anything about OpenStreetMap.
Wow.
Can you give us the 60-second overview of what it does? I mean, you gave us the 10-second right there, but expand it a bit for us.
Well, basically, you know, you're used to things like Google Maps, MapQuest, Yahoo Maps, but the thing is they all have licensing restrictions. And OpenStreetMap is an attempt to produce a better map of the world under some sort of share-alike license so that the data is not restricted in what you can do with it.
Okay, and so like Wikipedia, you compared it to that, which is a user editable system. Is how does one contribute to OpenStreetMap.org?
It's really pretty straightforward. You set up a user account, and then you go out and you compare what is in OpenStreetMap to what you see on the streets, the reality, and you start fixing mistakes. And I have seen enough of the reality of things like Google Maps and Yahoo Maps that I know where the mistakes are, and it's possible to do better, and it's possible to do better without license restrictions.
Now, what do you talk about mistakes? What do you mean? There's streets incorrectly labeled, streets that aren't that exist but aren't on Google Maps, stuff like that, or what kind of mistakes are we talking about?
Or streets that do not exist that are in the map, streets that are misplaced. There's all kinds of mistakes because in the U.S. at least, which is where most of the people on this call probably live, the core database is something that everybody gets from the Census Bureau for free, and it's actually kind of messed up. It's better in some places than others.
Okay, and so what are these licensing issues that you mentioned that, I mean, why is Google, for example, not set up to where you can just call in or submit updated information now?
Well, Google will allow you to submit updated information. The restrictions are not on submitting updates. The restrictions are on using the work product, the resulting Google Maps. If you look at it, there's an actual license involved, whereas OpenStreetMap is published under a share-alike license, which means that you don't have to pay anybody any money to use OpenStreetMap maps.
So, Richard, could you talk a little bit then about how that all plays into, you know, there's always that privacy issue with Google and the mapping bans that they have and the pictures of people in compromising positions. And so part of the way Google is enhancing the data they have about addresses and streets is through the use of these the street bans. And can you talk a little bit about that? Because the first thing that strikes me, if I'm understanding what you're saying correctly, is that what OpenStreetMap does is it's voluntary instead of almost surreptitious.
Right. We basically, OpenStreetMap is a bunch of dedicated mappers who drive around, and whereas what Google is doing with the vans is they're driving through taking pictures and then they just upload, and I think they take such a volume of pictures they never get a chance to actually look at anything. And so a lot of the controversy has to do with the fact that they never actually bother to look at stuff. OpenStreetMap is a lot more of a conscious, I go out and maybe I take pictures, but everything that I do involves looking at what it is I'm doing and making conscious decisions about what I put into the map.
Okay, Richard, I've got, I just moved into a new house a few months ago on our neighborhood. Is growing. This is a region that hasn't really been built out yet, and so as a result, on my GPS, on Google Maps, a lot of these streets are incomplete. They don't have the full, you know, the full street, or they don't even have many streets that are existing here. So, if I wanted to correct that on OpenStreetMap.org, walk me through real quick. How does one actually use the system to update the information?
Well, basically, there are a couple of editors in common use that you could load up on your computer. If you were to go to OpenStreetMap.org and click on Edit, you would get into Potlatch, which is a Flash-based editor that runs in a web server. A lot of the power mappers instead will download a Java mapping program called Jawsome, which is what I use. Basically, and you can either put in the streets off of aerial mapping if you have reasonably current photography. Often you don't. And so I use a Garmin GPS. Most of the other types of GPS can do this too. I can actually go drive those streets and get a log in the GPS, which I can then load into the editor, and I can add those streets to the map, assuming that I've also taken reasonable notes on what the street names are.
Okay, now that's interesting. So then the follow-up to that is, how is this data useful then to me as an end user? Obviously, with Google Maps or with my GPS, you know, they've got their own map system. But if I know your maps are superior, how can I use your system to benefit my life versus a Google Maps or my, you know, navigation system in my car?
Well, this is the real challenge, is that while in many ways, OSM maps are better, we're still working on doing the fix-up to make the routing work, the routing that your Garmin GPS can do, the routing that Google Maps can do. And that's a critical mass issue, is getting enough people working on fixing the maps that we can eventually get them into shape that will work. And, you know, you can't make promises about when that's going to happen, but, you know, we're all busy working away trying to fix that up. Now, I know that as of today, I commonly run OSM maps in my Garmin. There is a mechanism for getting your Garmin to use our maps instead of maps from Garmin. Right at the moment, they don't route correctly, but, you know, we're on the path. We're trying to get there.
You know, and it's interesting. I just zoomed into my neighborhood as we were talking, and there's one particular street which has become kind of a main street, and it just got finished in the last couple of months, and Google Maps doesn't have it correct, but OpenStreetMap.org does. So that's pretty impressive.
That means that there's somebody actively mapping in your neighborhood who is getting that stuff in.
Yeah, well, that's pretty neat.
That's what crowdsourcing can do. If you can get enough people working on it in a neighborhood.
Now, what are you guys doing in terms of, what's your relationship to the organization? Are you a mapper, or are you on, you know, some leadership position in the group, or what's your interest in the project?
I am the secretary of the board of directors of the U.S. chapter of the OpenStreetMap Foundation, which just basically came formally into existence about a month ago.
Okay.
And so we're in the process of organizing our first U.S. conference, the State of the Map U.S., which will be in Atlanta, Georgia, in about a week.
Okay. Oh, it's a map conference. What does that mean? Just at an OpenStreetMap.org conference, or there's a larger map conference, you're going to have a presence there? What does that mean?
Well, there is a international conference, State of the Map, which is OpenStreetMap focused, which was held in Girona, Spain, about a month ago, and this is the first U.S. sub-conference, if you will, where we're going to probably going to have around 40 or 50 U.S.-based mappers to talk specifically about issues in the United States.
All right. Well, that's pretty interesting.
And we're basically, to put this in perspective, the Census Bureau is very interested in what we're doing because the base maps we're working off of are Census Bureau-generated maps. And we've been busy finding and fixing mistakes in the Census Bureau's maps over the past 2 years.
So you've been actually fixing errors that have been in existence for quite a long time.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, what we find with Census Bureau maps is that in some parts of the country they're very good, and in some parts of the country they're not so good. And it has to do with the training and motivation of the people in the specific geographic areas, which varies a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's not really a big surprise.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, Richard, I think we're going to have to run now. But this has been a lot of really good information, and I didn't even know that this existed prior to your phone call. So I'm really interested to keep my eye on this. It's OpenStreetMap.org. And if people go there, they'll just be able to kind of jump in and figure out what you're all about.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for calling, Richard, and we hope to talk to you again.
Okay.
Bye. Well, Ann, I'm sorry. I monopolized that conversation there. But
That's okay. That was really interesting, and I'm always interested to hear about alternatives to the Google monster, which has been in the news quite a bit lately, but they still promise to do no evil, and we believe that.
Well, you know.
So, you know, we only – yeah.
Well, I was going to say, just on this particular topic, in a general sense, I'm still constantly amazed that there exists on the internet vast things, industries, hobbies, activities that I know nothing about. And so it's neat to all of a sudden be hit with something that I've never heard of before that is alive and growing and interesting. And like I said, I zoomed into my neighborhood there, and they had some streets corrected that Google does not. So, you know, the internet is a big, wild, fast place, and it's always neat to find out what's lurking behind that piece of furniture over there.
It's certainly, well, if it's not vast, it's at least half vast.
Well, we're getting the vastness expanded as we speak.
There we go. Now, so in the, 12 minutes we have left, I want to remind everyone out there listening that this is the one show, because you are helping us get this, you know, work all the kinks out. This is the one episode where you can ask Brian anything you want, anything at all.
And trust me, that's a very exciting proposition.
You can also ask me anything you want, but really, this is your one opportunity to have at. So seriously, hit one now. It'll put you into our caller queue. You can ask just anything you want. I mean, get that opportunity to get on the radio and ask any question you want of the
host. Number is,
or indeed, go ahead.
Let's give our number again, 347-857-3122, 347-857-3122. And probably everyone listening here doesn't necessarily know our relationship, Anna, and kind of our background. So in a nutshell, we were referred to each other through a mutual friend. You were interested in doing a podcast. I have a media production company. We got put together. And so for a year or so, I guess, we did a show called Three Things You Should Know, which was always very interesting to me, because you would present three things that probably no one knew, or at least anybody listening to the show would not know all of the three things. They may know one of them, maybe two, but chances are the thing about the worm was always going to stop somebody. So so we did that for a while. Then we took a hiatus, and now we're jumping in with this. So that's kind of our history. And we'd love to answer any questions anybody has if they want to call in our remaining 9 minutes and let us talk about ourselves further.
And, you know, have you noticed that to tie this all, you know, sort of bring it all full circle, we were talking about past life regression and progression, and have you noticed that our business relationship has taken a progression? Because it used to be three things you should know,
yes,
and now you know.
And I was trying to work out what that meant. I didn't know if that meant, well, now we just can only talk about one thing because Brian is not as intelligent as I expected him to be. I did a show with him for a while called Three Things You Should Know, and that didn't really work because
it was, keep up with three, Brian. It was
that was tough. I had to do my homework, eat my Wheaties that day. But I'm really excited about this because, you know, like I say, I do media production. I've got a production company. We do audio, video, any kind of digital media. And one thing that I've always really, really enjoyed about doing, particularly video production, is that on almost every project, it's something completely new in terms of industry or personality or subject material, anything. It's hardly ever very similar to something that we did previously. And so I love that aspect that every project I'm learning something new, I'm finding something new out about an industry, or like I said, that things exist that I never knew about. There's all these things out there that I wouldn't necessarily come across in my daily life if I was, you know, just, you know, working at a bank or something like that. But because of this industry that I'm in, I get to learn all these new things. And so that's what I'm really excited about this show, is that week to week, we're going to have just different experts, whoever we can find that we think is interesting enough to bring on. And it just gives you kind of a potpourri of life that you can, you know, just learn more about this big ball that we're all spinning on and find out what's going on with things that you may never have otherwise known about.
You know, what's really exciting to me, Brian, is that, yeah, first of all, I have to say I've always loved working with you. And doing the podcast with you was a real treat. But doing this, what's really exciting to me is that it's live and the people listening can actually interact with our guest experts. And that's just really crazy cool.
Yeah, and you don't have to talk to me as much. So that's probably another benefit for you.
Not at all. Not at all. Now, I have...
Well, I was going to toot your horn a little bit, so you may not want to interrupt me here. But for those that don't know, Anne is really connected. She really has a good Rolodex, and so I am expecting that we're going to really get some really interesting people on the show. So I'm definitely scheduled to tune in or catch the podcast when we publish it afterwards. But we'll look forward to this because I think that you're going to bring in some really top notch folks for us to talk to.
Well, so far I think I've done pretty well for our first show.
Yeah, I mean, we've already jumped into the occult. I mean, where do you go from there?
That was a compliment to you, actually, Brian.
Oh,
but
I was talking about me. I'm deep in the occult.
So I'm looking at our chat room,
yes,
and I noticed that there are two people in there who don't have nicknames, and they're just there as guest 7158 and guest 7163. So I'm going to call them out. And I'm going to ask them to call in and ask a question or at least wave in the chat room and let us know who's there listening. And Karen has asked about has made a suggestion of having Dean Tong on. I got to tell you, I haven't talked with Dean in years, but last I knew he was down in Florida. And sure, that would certainly be a suggestion that we would take. Thank you for that suggestion.
Now, and I don't know. Because, like I said, this is our first technical test of this, just to see how this system works. What is the preferred contact method that we are going to have for people to get a hold of us not during the show? Is there an email address that we're going to set up, or do you want them to contact us through the Blog Talk Radio page? How is that going to be handled?
Do you mean contact, like to request?
Yeah, you know, just shoot us an email, request a discussion, or if they want to ask something about a previous show, something like that.
Well, there are a couple of different ways that they can do that. The way that they can do that currently is right through the Blog Talk Radio /NowYouKnow webpage, there's a link right there where you can send us a message.
Okay.
However, we also are in the process of putting up a separate standalone website for the show, and that is at nowyouknowradio.com. But that's only just in the process of going up right now, so it's not quite up yet.
Okay.
So they'll be able to do that through either.
That's interesting. And then, so, like I said, we're testing this blog system out, or this Blog Talk Radio app. It does look like, you know, we get the archive show after we're done, and we're going to take that and then put it into a podcast so people that aren't able to listen live can subscribe and listen to it. And what I've found, I have many podcasts. I'm a voracious podcast listener. I listen to just about any kind of podcast I can come across. And a lot of the podcasts are moving to a live format, maybe a supplemental show or taking their normal show and transitioning to a live format. And so I will listen to these, you know, days after they've actually been live, and they're great, and I love listening to them, but I'm starting to feel like, and I really want to be a part of that when it's live, because there's so much energy and it's so exciting, and I want to ask a particular question. So I hope that people will listen to this if they subscribe to the podcast, and it'll kind of get their juices going, and they'll want to actually be a part of the live show, because really, quite frankly, the less I talk, the better. So that's what we're looking for.
By the way, speaking of different formats, one of the coolest things that I have found so far, at least, you know, now maybe it's just me, maybe I'm a little weird, maybe I'm a bit of a geek, okay, maybe there's no maybe about any of those, but I tested the system today and I discovered that if you have a smartphone, you can listen to us live from your smartphone. So
you're going to have to walk us through that, because I saw you mentioned that. I tried it on my iPhone and it didn't work. I couldn't figure it out. So can you tell us how that works?
Well, Brian, I did say a smartphone.
Okay. What is it? What are you carrying these days? I know that you go through phones like some people go through underwear. So what do you have?
Currently, I am carrying a Samsung Galaxy 5 Android phone. It's through T-Mobile, and so it's what do they call it? They call it the Vibrant. And I got to tell you what, this phone has the craziest screen, and by crazy, I mean incredible. In fact, this screen is so brilliant, and that's probably why they named it the Vibrant, that they include from the factory installed on the phone the full uncut avatar just to show off the screen.
that's great. That's pretty incredible. Now we've got 2 minutes left, so we don't want to dive too much into this topic, but you've been an Android user for a while, right? I mean, you had the G1.
I did. In fact, I just had to give up my wonderful G1 because it finally broke, and that's why I have this new phone. But on the topic of that, to be honest, all I did was I went with the web browser directly to our URL at blogtalkradio.com/nowyouknow, and I clicked on listen, and it, you know, in my particular phone, it asked, do you want to listen through the audio player or through the web? And it worked just wonderfully.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to give that a try. But now, so you're not hot on the iPhone. I know that you've, even before, we actually, on our old podcast, we had an interview with someone, I can't remember who it was, that had a pre-release iPhone, and we got a little scoop on that. But you're not an iPhone user, but you do like the iPad, right?
I love my iPad.
So what's the difference?
Absolutely.
Right? You're an iPhone hater, but an iPhone lover. I mean, iPad lover. How does that work?
Well, for one thing, the screen keyboard's a whole lot bigger.
That is true.
But you know what? We only have 1 minute left, and I would like to take this last minute. I'll take 30 seconds of it, and I'll give you 30 seconds of it, but I'd like to take my 30 seconds of it to thank the listeners and the chatters who joined us tonight, because you guys were so helpful. You totally rocked. I'm monitoring the chat room right now, and you're saying we did a great job, but really, if we did a great job, it's because you guys made us look good. So thank you. Thank you so much for joining us and helping us test the system out and giving us the questions and all the advice. And just thank you so much. And I really hope you'll tell, you know, you'll tell two friends and they'll tell two friends. And oops, wait, there we go. You have, 18, 17, 16 seconds left, Brian. I'm sorry.
All right, well, check us next Monday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific. And I'm going to play our intro music to get us out of here. But I just, yeah.
Bye, Brian. Bye, Dr. Paul
Thomas. You're listening to Now You Know. Call us at 347-857-3122 or call via Skype at Now You Know.